Is Jesus 50% God and 50% man, or something else? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you are just joining us and not familiar with the program, on Fridays, I do not teach the Bible directly. On Fridays, I bring in a friend, and we teach the Bible indirectly by way of questions. But you will notice that I'm far less out of the box on Fridays, because my friend is my pastor, and I'm especially spiritual around him. Pete, I appreciate you coming in. Pete Alwinson is my pastor. He comes in on Friday.
It's good to be here. Yeah, I'm going to say something. Yeah, it's good to be. I'm trying to find the right spot. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I really am. And you?
I'm doing great.
We do this for a number of reasons. Pete has profound insights into the Scripture, and he is the pastor of the church I attend, and I want to make a statement on Key Life that we're pro-church. Pete is also on our board, and they set my salary, and so it always pays to be nice to people who hold the purse strings. Listen, we do love getting your questions, but you do have to write them down. You can send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. That's to get the magazine free, the tapes free, the booklets free, or to make a contribution. But you got to write your question out. By the way, check out our website. It's keylife.org. A lot of really neat stuff there. And if you're listening from prison or jail, don't forget about our Crossroads Bible Institute program. You're going to love it. You'll grow in grace. And if you'll just give us a call or drop us a note, we'll get the application and the process moving, and it's absolutely free. You can give us, and if you only have one call and you're in jail or prison, call your lawyer and send us a note. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these questions.
All right. Father, we do bow before you right now, thanking you for who you are. What a privilege it is, Lord, to be your children. And Father, we aren't good, and you know it, and we're such a mess sometimes, but you're not. And we honor you for being holy and righteous and strong and kind. Thank you for being a father to us, and thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ. Sometimes we don't think we're that bad. We're worse. But Jesus has been perfect in fulfilling the law and in taking our penalty on the cross. And we are profoundly grateful that we belong to you now. And we look forward to worshiping on Sunday as your people, hearing your word. Father, we pray for those who are going to teach us and stand before us this weekend and lead us in worship. We pray for them. Be with our priests and pastors, teachers, leaders. May they, Father, stand firm. May they teach the truth, not pull any punches, but may they communicate your grace and the gospel of Christ. And now, Lord, as we answer some questions, we realize that we have more questions than we do have answers for this life, and that you are sometimes shrouded in mystery, but we give you praise and honor and ask that you would use this time. Thank you for this ministry, and we pray for Steve and ask that you would continue to fill him with your Spirit. Bless this ministry. Support it, we pray, as we do commit these things to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pete, this is an email. It's from an 11-year-old, by the way. It's a good question. Yeah. Is Jesus 50% God and 50% man, or 100% God, or something else?
It's a great question, and the early church struggled with it. It's surprising that they would struggle with it. At first, they didn't, until they were asked. Then they started saying, well, if there's only one God, how do we understand Jesus, really? Well, the outcome, very God, a very God. Yeah. So 100% man, 100% God.
And the Nicene statement is something that's very difficult for a 60-year-old to understand, and it probably can be understood better by 11-year-old because they haven't gotten into Aristotelian logic.
That's right.
All God.
All God.
All man.
God, all man. And he had to be fully man in order to be our representative. And he had to be fully God for him to convey to us the righteousness of God.
That's true. So, and so the final thing, 100% God, right on.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Amen.
Good question. Good question. What do Unitarians believe? That's another email.
Do they believe anything?
You know what you get when you cross a Unitarian with a Jehovah's Witness?
What?
Somebody will knock on your door but doesn't have anything to say. Oh, man, am I going to get letters?
Especially from New England. But
well, actually, Unitarianism is in its beginnings was relatively orthodox in everything except the Trinity.
Yeah.
What we were just talking about.
Right,
we
right.
talked about Christology and the nature of Christ. And thus the name Unitarian means we don't believe, that's as opposed to Trinitarian.
Yeah, one God versus whatever the Trinity was they thought.
So they didn't believe that Jesus was God. But in those early days, they thought that their arguments were primarily from Scripture and not from what one thinks about things. But I think it's a good example of incremental falling away. Once you take a major doctrine that's clearly taught in Scripture and you begin to question that doctrine, it can lead to one thing and then another and another, and you got a domino thing. Now, that may not be true in international, although I think it's true internationally in political and military matters, but I think it's certainly true theologically. And so Unitarians today, and I'm not going to be pejorative about that. I'm not Unitarians' mother, and they have their, you know, they can believe whatever they want to believe, you know. They can worship the great pumpkin. I mean, anybody can, and that's cool with me. But Unitarians generally are quite liberal, both politically and theologically. I read recently there, by the way, has been a union between the Unitarian Church and the Universalist, because it's called now Unitarian Universalist. Everybody's saved. I saw an ad by Unitarian Church where they were requesting that an atheist come and be a part of their church because they felt like old views were not being aired.
Yeah. So now it's believe in anything and everything, and everybody's saved.
Yeah, and generally very open-minded, very thoughtful people. I'm not questioning
right.
that sort of thing, you know, but we'd have some serious disagreements. I don't think they're ugly and their mother dresses them funny. I just think they're wrong.
Yeah, we can't say anymore that it has any real links to Christianity.
No, and I think when you say Unitarian Church, it's a misnomer.
Right.
It's a Unitarian society, and some of my Unitarian friends would say that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's good, that's good.
All right, we got a lot of emails. Did God's moving in the world, miracles, end with the canon? First, tell us what the canon is, and then give us an answer to
that. Well, the canon is the list of books that the church has decreed to be authoritative, and therefore from God. The word canon came from a word that meant reed, so it was the measuring stick. So, the word canon are those books that are authoritative, and when the canon was closed, the last book, Revelation, right? About what, 100 plus AD?
Yeah, into the first, second the century, first latter part. And yeah.
No, I don't believe miracles have ended. I don't believe the supernatural is over. God moves in the world, and I think a lot of things that He does in the way of miracles are things that we don't even know. We don't even see.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, whenever I see change of character in people who are new Christians or older Christians, and they grow up. And I see a difference myself sometimes. You go, man, that's a miracle when God does.
Thanks a lot.
I was going to talk about a couple of those things.
Yeah,
do
right.
I get specific?
No, I do not. This is not an appropriate venue for that sort of thing. But you're right. That's a miracle. And I think God answers. You know, the question is, does God answer prayer?
Absolutely.
When you get down to
yes,
it.
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, there are some within our camp, the Reformed Calvinistic camp, who would be very definite that that all that God has done has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, miracles, healing, that sort of thing doesn't happen. But as you say, a change of life, a radical change is a miracle,
mm-hmm.
at least from our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've said a number of times on this broadcast, I have a little girl who has her own little girls now, and she was one day old, and God intervened in a very serious physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think God does that all the time, but I think he sometimes does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what happens is because we see guys on TV that many of us look at and we say, that's probably an abuse
yeah.
of the whole idea
yeah.
of miracles, and maybe not real even. We question it. We then, therefore, want to throw everything else out.
So true.
And that's just not the case.
So
God is bigger than us.
Oh, yeah. And he does answer prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I did accept Christ at one time, but now I'm really struggling with assurance. What can I do about it?
Mm. Billy Graham people said one time that lack of assurance of salvation is the number one issue among Christians.
Oh, we get that question all the time.
We do, don't we?
Yeah, we really do.
Have you ever struggled with your assurance of salvation?
I think maybe at one time. I think not so much now.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes struggle with why he would save me, but mm-hmm. not whether he did. You know, there are a number of ways that one can get assurance. There's the perseverance. As you persevere, you get assurance.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to be said for those Campus Crusade. Some dispensationalists who say, remember the day
mm-hmm.
when you made the commitment, and unless God lied. And there's something to be said for that.
Absolutely.
I believe that the fact that you wrote this question and asked us about it, why would you even care?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you care is because the Holy Spirit is in you.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from those three ways of having assurance, staying with the means of grace that God has provided, that's church and Bible and sacraments,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't doubt in the dark. I'd keep doing what was right, and then I would study grace.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because it is all about what Jesus did and not what we did. And so the more you understand the gospel of grace, the more you understand that you're going to feel that and you're going to blow it a lot.
Yeah, and what happens is that when people first blow it, they didn't think they would,
mm-hmm.
and then they say, I'm not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that that's God's grace teaching you something very important.
Pursue it with somebody who you know nearby and talk with them
who's
a Christian.
Good advice. Well, time has passed. We just sat down. We'll do it next Friday.
Yeah, man. I'll see you.
Hey, guys, one other thing. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.